It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, our Pirates playback. The Pirates get a big win, 19-7 over the William & Mary Tribe. With us right now, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
What's going on, David? And I never did like Pocahontas.
All right, and we also have Bubba Rosenbaum live from Cherry Grove, man.
China Grove.
I had Myrtle Beach on my mind, so sorry, guys. And then from Warner Robins, Georgia, ladies and gentlemen, we call him Bunk. You know him better as Terry Gallagher. How are you, man?
I'm cooking cupcakes.
We'll talk about that. And I can tell you, well, here's a nice segue. You ready, Terry?
Yeah.
We didn't play a cupcake last night, did we, Kyle?
No. I think William & Mary's got a quality football team at their level, the FCS level. I think maybe we exposed them a little bit last night, actually, on how to beat them defensively. Take away their run, they can't beat the passes. Their quarterback's not accurate. But no, they're not Gardner Webb. That's for damn sure.
No doubt. And I felt good about them. Felt good about the win. You know, Terry, let's bring in Bunk here, because you had a great post. By the way, this is a shameless plug, and I'll give anyway for folks that want to charge or not charge. We're not going to ever charge. It's a lot of fun. It's called Pirates Cove, and you had a great post. Can you talk about that?
Did I? Really? No. You know, I thought last night was if you were there at the game, one day you're going to talk about it. You're going to say that's where we knew we were headed in the right direction. Back in 1975, after Coach Dye had gone 7-4 the first year, we'd lost the first two games of the season. And then we won two, and then we lost a home game to Richmond, which made us 2-3. And we had to go down and play the Citadel. Well, you know, some people like to think that because of a school's name, it's got something to do with how good the team is. And Citadel that year had several NFL-quality players, and they had Bobby Ross as the head coach, Ralph Regan as an offensive coordinator, Frank Beamer as a defense coordinator. And we went down there and played them, and we won the game 3-0. Now, what was it, 19-7, final score last night?
Yeah.
If you think that's not a good score, about 3-0. And they actually had a punt. Citadel had a punt return called back. So that game, though, we went on and won 6 games. In other words, we finished the rest of the season undefeated. So we had a 6-game winning streak, and that included beating North Carolina and included beating Virginia. Then we opened the following year with NC State. We beat them and had 6 more wins. So we had a 12-game winning streak over 2 years. But it was all that Citadel game was the turning point. Because if we'd have lost that game, you know, Coach Dive might not have been there much longer. So, you know, you never know when it's going to be like that and what's going to be the crucial moment or what's going to be the big play or whatever. But I think last night we finally demonstrated what Coach Houston's football is all about. And it's not what we used to have. And how long has it been since we had a, you know, what you'd call something like a normal offense or NFL-type offense? Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I'm back under Skip Holt. I mean,
yeah, I'd say Skip. And you see, we're not going to score 50 points every game, and we're not going to throw 50 passes every game. In fact, I believe that if we are doing that, we probably aren't winning. Because what Coach Houston likes to do is he likes to keep the pressure off of the defense by controlling the ball on offense. And with that, you know, make first downs. That's the goal of the offense, is to make first downs. Because if you finish every offensive possession with some type of kick, you're going to be playing winning football. Now, the other thing is turn takeaway giveaway. If there's a stat that means anything, I believe that's probably the most important one. Right now, we've had five turnovers, and we've had four takeaways. And so we're minus one. The last 3 years, we were already either minus four, minus six, or minus, I think it was seven or eight for the first year. Let's see, we were minus six, minus four. So we wound up being one of the leading teams in the country in giveaways. Or, you know, the ratio, we were like minus 12 or 14 or something. So, it's going to be different. I love it. I love the way it looks. I believe Coach Houston's got a bit of Coach Dye in him. And, you know, I think it's old-fashioned football a little bit. And what it's going to do also is affect who we recruit. You know, we're not going to be recruiting just wide receivers. We're not going to be recruiting, you know, We're going to have fullback type players. We're going to have tight ends, and we're going to run the ball, and then we're going to pass it. And last night we rushed for more than we passed. We had more attempts rushing than we did passing. And you saw the outcome of the game. The second half, we absolutely by the end of the game, there was no doubt. Who had won the game. No, it's not a big scoreboard thing. But we ran 46 plays in the second half. They ran 27. We had 86 plays total in the game. They had 63. That is a big – if we've got the ball more than they do, there's a good chance that we're not going to lose, or at least – if nothing else, it's not going to be a blowout. So I like it. I think it's coming along just like they want it to. I think the coaches had a vision when they got here. I think they've worked it, and they're still working it. And even watching the sidelines, Coach Houston's involved in the game. There's not a silliness. There's not a lot of this and that, it's like business. And he's taking care of business. He's coaching them when he needs to coach them. He's taking care of situations when he needs to take care of situations. And he's leading like a head coach should lead. The assistant coaches, you watch them, they are working their butts off. To me, it's beautiful to watch. And I'm just excited about it. I think each week we get a little bit better. And if people will just accept what we're doing, then I think, you know, if they're not on board now, they will be when we start winning 9 and 10, 11 games a year.
So. Terry, I think if we're going to finish some of those drives last night with touchdowns instead of field goals.
Oh.
I think people would be a lot happier today. I think you change two of those field goals into touchdowns,
right?
And people are just probably
different
not. You got one complaint, and that's probably Holton, and the passing game still needs some work. But if you turn two of those field goals into touchdowns, yeah,
right.
People a lot more smiles. But defensively, we played. I thought as well, in terms of the game plan we had on defense and the way we executed that game plan on defense, I thought that was the best we played on defense since the 2015 season.
And we made adjustments at halftime.
Yeah, we did.
And our defense in the second half absolutely shut down what they were trying to do.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that it's nice to see that our coaches are able to make in-game adjustments.
Yep.
And what they were doing, their offense isn't complicated. it was really, it's kind of an I, based on the old I formation, and they zone block. And zone blocking means everybody just steps and takes more or less a gap or pushes a player a certain way, and the ball carrier runs until he sees a place to go, and then he hits it.
Yeah.
And what they did, a lot of cutbacks. You know, they'd start one way and bring it back the other way. Well, if you look in the second half, when they would cut back, we had a guy waiting on it. In other words, we weren't, our whole defense wasn't running with the blocking. We were playing the play side, but we also had good backside of responsibilities taken care of.
Yeah, when their offense is successful, they're snapping the ball in a hurry and they're picking up 4, 5, 6 yards run and get back to the line doing it again. And when you can get them out of their rhythm, you're going to screw their offense all up. It's in theory, what they want to do, rhythm is similar to an air raid, except they want to run it instead of throw it. But one concern, guys, coming off this game to me still is the passing game. And it's not just Holton. The receivers at times are not catching the ball when they need to. They're not holding on to the ball. We don't seem to have any big playmakers at receiver that have breakaway speed. It can be a true deep threat. Whenever Holton is going deep, he's overthrowing people. Holton seemed to handle pressure better last year than he does this year. I don't know what you guys think. Last year, anytime there was much pressure, he'd pull it down and run. And this year, he's holding on to that ball, trying to find somebody downfield more, which in theory is a good thing. But man, sometimes when you can run it, just pull it down and run it. What do y'all think about the passing game?
Go ahead, Bubba. Were you?
Yeah. So as far as what you're saying, I think it's a combination of the two being. I definitely see what you're saying as far as last year. He was certainly more apt to pull it down and run. And this year, he's trying to. I'm sure he's been coached to not take off so quickly and give it a chance before you pull it down and run. And so there were times last night that I think that mental clock, as far as getting rid of it or pulling it down and run, didn't hit quickly enough. And there are certainly times where he did not have time to do either. But I think it's kind of a combination of the two as far as him maybe holding it just a little too long, or not pulling it down and taking off quickly enough, or just flat out not having time.
Let me give you a scenario here about Holton. Let's say you were a kid, you were 16 years old, and you're best athlete around, and everybody knew you and all this good stuff, and then you wind up going to a college right there in your hometown. Now, you start as a freshman, a true freshman. I don't know if you've even turned 18 yet, and you're out there leading the way. Now, I don't think he was coached to be a quarterback last year. I think he was used as a running back. So he really didn't have to get into the mechanics of being a quarterback and the, like you said, knowing when the clock, that internal clock of when to get rid of the ball, stuff like that. And yes, he did take it and run it. But he also wound up, as the season went on, he got beat up and he got injured before the season was out. Now, you come back this year, you got a new coaching staff, and they're trying to actually get you to be a quarterback first, not a runner. So you've got all this going on around you, people out there telling you either, why aren't you doing what you did? Why aren't you making the big plays? Well, I think he's almost trying too hard to make the big play. And you saw that with some of the he made some stupid plays. And luckily, they didn't kill us, but he got away with some things. But if you watch, he got better through the game. And by the end of the and it's like that. I don't think he's going to be he's not what he was last year. And if he wants to be a true quarterback with a future, then he's going to have to learn to stay in the pocket, stand tall, and he still has a tendency to throw off the back foot. which means he's not stepping into the pass. Okay, he's using his arm, basically. But when he does stand there and fire it from a up, you know, when he stands tall and throws that ball, he's got a strong arm.
Yeah, so, and he overthrows. Speaking of the strong arm, he's got to have it overthrowing people on the deep ball, man. He's got to do something to get more accurate downfield.
But
we've got to get a vertical passing game going. We've got to.
It's better to overthrow than to underthrow.
No, you're right, but we've got to get a vertical passing game going, period. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. We have to.
You want me to come play a few downs?
Yeah, well, sure. You think you can get open and get downfield? You were good at it back in the day.
But that goes back to what y'all were talking about earlier about big play people. We really don't have, and the reason we don't have big play people is because we focus too much on one guy. That's what we became over the last 3 years. We more or less had a target, and that's why we had people catching so many passes and stuff like that. But you weren't developing future receivers. And so what's happened is we don't have the speed. It's one simple. There's one thing that takes care of all problems in football, and that's speed. You know, speed kills. I mean, you know, it's the best weapon you can have. And I don't know if we got it at the wideout.
Well, we got the one kid from UCLA, Amadi. What's his name?
Audio Matosho.
Where the hell's he been? Did he die? I mean, not to make that joke, but where's he been?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just been a matter of just learning the offense since he got in so late in the game. I think I did see him at certain points last night, but obviously not catching balls.
Yeah.
I did think he would come along a little more quickly, so hopefully we'll see it here in the next few games. To your point, Terry, that's something that Donnie Kirkpatrick has brought up multiple times as far as we have good receivers, but as far as having that guy – that can really make something happen after the catch and take it the distance, like you're saying, not so sure we have it.
No. And right now I'm not sure that we're going to – it's not going to happen overnight with that, for sure. And that's where the recruiting come in. But also, if you watched William and Mary in the first half, their defense was designed to stop the pass. And so what they were doing was, if you counted the people, you know, the numbers in the box and all that stuff, if you watched, oftentimes they only had like a 5-6 man front, and they'd be dropping off. They were either dropping off six or five. And then with a combination of things, they more or less had the passing cover. We had to run the ball. They made us run the ball, and we did. And that's what wound up being what we needed to do, and I think they helped us just, you know, push ourselves through it. And if you watch, too, the kids, I haven't seen us act as a team as much as I'm seeing now, and it looked like as we went on, we got stronger. I don't know if it was that William and Mary got that much, I don't know about depth and stuff like that, but our kids, they didn't want to stop playing. You know, they could have gone another quarter and been happy to do it.
Yeah, like you're saying, as far as developing that mentality and wearing an opponent down, running the football there late with the way we were running it with Trace Christian and Tay Williams, you saw Deontay Smith and some of the linemen after they were picking up 6, 7, 8 yards or more a pop. And you'd see Deontay Smith high-fiving Tay Williams or whoever.
Right. You saw us acting. I mean, we were happy. Yeah. And like, we enjoyed playing. It was fun.
And guys, it's funny you say that. I saw somebody post today. It was a lady. I don't remember her name on the ECU football board. That was talking about how she's concerned about, well, we don't have emotion on the sideline. Now, this is the part that tripped me out. She said, I had the privilege of being on the sideline for the Navy game, and I was concerned of the lack of emotion on the sideline on our bench. Really? The Navy game? Our bench was sitting there quiet with no emotion? don't say. I mean, what I saw last night looked like plenty of emotion. Maybe what she means is that goofy crap that Montgomery had, where he had young players as cheerleaders basically behind the bench. Y'all remember that nonsense?
Yes.
I didn't know that exactly.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Well, just had guys that were, like you say, I guess maybe red shirts, guys that were not dressed out. They had their pirate football shirts or warm-up suits on right there behind the bench and had towels or shirts swinging them.
Oh, you talking about ERWs. Y'all know what an ERW is? Ride, and watch.
Yeah.
Well, he had them basically acting as cheerleaders last year. And it was good.
When you got more ERWs than you do players, then you got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, Terry, I've heard ERWs referred to as something else too, and when you said that term ERW and said what it stood for, I'd certainly heard it before, but I've also heard that. Or those individuals described as sandwich shitters.
And we're going to have to sandwich what did you say, Bubba?
sandwich poopers. Sandwich poopers.
Okay, we're going to have to edit that out.
But you know, down here
in Georgia, I knew you'd like that, Kyle.
Down here in Georgia, our high school teams, we'd always get them we'd get everybody a box of chicken after the game. And so when you got on the bus, you'd get a box of chicken, you know, a roll, two sides, and, you know, two pieces of chicken. So
that was KFC, Popeyes?
Whatever was the big seller in whatever town we went to.
Gotcha.
And all you got to do is call the fire department if you don't know where to go eat. Fire departments anywhere in America can tell you the best local places to eat at. So if you ever need to travel, that's who you call. Call
good, good advice.
Yeah. So, coaches, high school coaches especially, you learn how to improvise. But anyway, we don't need ERWs. All we need is players getting after each other. And when you do it in practice, and when you get guys who actually, the scout team is so important during the week because those are the guys that prepare the starters for the games. And so if you're not getting good effort from your scout team, then you're not going to have a well-prepared offense or defense. And I believe that's something that's getting I can't see it because that's happening during the week. But I'd say we probably are having better – practices as far as scout team and stuff like that. And again, that's because everybody feels important. You know, nobody on the team is more important than anybody else. And so when you start understanding that, and it's got to be shown to you, and it's got to come from the top. If it doesn't come from the top, it don't take effect. And so when you see the guys at the top doing things, that's what's going to happen at the bottom. And so I guarantee you, what Coach Houston hasn't lied to us a bit.
Well, that's a great point, Terry. That's something I was thinking about earlier today that I wanted to – I kind of made a mental note of it. I wanted to mention when we were recording, and that is what Coach Houston said in last night's post-game press conference. I don't know if you heard those remarks, but he was talking about Tay Williams and Trace Christian, just talking about how proud he is of those two young men because they were buried under the doghouse with some of the things that they had done, but how
they were under it.
Right, yeah, buried under the doghouse. But he was just saying that they didn't quit. They did what they needed to do to made the changes necessary it's paid dividends because then they come out like they did last night, and they were really the difference in winning and losing that football game as far as the sparks they provided us.
We definitely needed them, and hopefully they'll continue that level of play. I don't know how long Pendus is going to be out. Nobody seems to. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see when Pendus comes back. I guess it'll depend on how those kids do the rest of the way. You know, Christian had a problem last year of turning the ball over when he played early in the year. But, you know, if you guys remember, I guess A&T, he ran the ball really well. He just kept turning the thing over. So if he's got that problem solved, he could be a solid back for us. And if you watched Tay's footwork, man, Tay's going to be a great back. He's got fast feet and juicy cut.
What year are those guys?
I believe true freshman and redshirt freshman. Is that right, Bubba?
Trace, sophomore?
I'm pretty sure Trace is a sophomore for sure.
Chris is a sophomore, okay.
Yeah.
And I think Dave Williams is a freshman, a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, Dave's a freshman.
Yeah, he's definitely a freshman.
Well, that, you know, and there again, see, the ones that were already there when he got there, as they have bought into what Coach Houston is selling, you see, that's brought others along, and it's going to ultimately make the difference, because now when we get more players coming in, you're going to be coming into a bunch of guys that are happy to be here. They're excited about East Carolina football, and when they start getting the effects of the crowd and what East Carolina football really is all about, when you fill that stadium, I guarantee you, it's going to get back to where kids in the East are going to want to come to East Carolina and play football.
Yeah,
and
Trace,
that's how it should be.
Trace Christian is a sophomore.
Yeah.
And I'm about to confirm Tay Williams, if he's a redshirt.
He is a redshirt freshman. I confirm redshirt. That. Yeah, okay. Redshirt freshman out of Lake Placid, Florida. Of course, Trace Christian's also from Florida.
To Florida kids. By the way, Terry, last night I listened to the lineups for East Carolina, offensive and defensive. I didn't realize we had so many doggone kids starting for us from Georgia. That may be our problem.
I would say we need more.
<That's> good.
I would say we definitely, because whoever was coaching before, he didn't want to leave the big cities, and we only got one. So
it's surprising we have so many kids from Georgia on the team.
Yeah, well, we have a lot more here, that because we don't have there's not that many colleges here play football, but we have some very good high school football, and a lot of kids don't get a chance.
We need some country speed.
That's right.
But you got to get out of the city. You got to go down and find them. You got to go to Baber. What's that town Doug Smith came from?
There is definitely a Bay Burl down in Pamlico County.
Because his dad was a shrimper, and Doug worked on the shrimp boats all the time. And he weighed, you know, about 300 pounds and played for Houston Oilers. But you got to go find them. And they're not going to be 4 or 5-star guys. And they're not going to – because for one thing, if we get a guy come to East Carolina, they're not going to call him a 4-star. He could be a 4-star, but when he chooses East Carolina, they're going to call him a 3-star.
What's Garcia right now, Bubba? Do you know?
I believe Garcia was a 3-star.
Yeah, and there's no way he's not a 5-star.
He was actually 4-star in the Rivals, guys.
Okay.
4-star.
Yeah, but you know how that goes. It's all political, because now that he picked East Carolina, he might drop down to 3, but I'm pretty confident he was 4 at the Rivals, and I think he was 3.
Yeah, I think you're right. With 24/7.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Dave.
I hope he's concentrating on his grades, guys, because that's the only reason he didn't get more offers than he did.
Now, he's the one that had the Sports Academy thing, isn't he?
He is at Carolina Forest, down in Myrtle Beach, and one of his assistant coaches is Norman Quick, who played, you know, in the early 80s. So.
Right.
So we had Norman Quick on the podcast a few weeks after Mason committed. But and we also talked to his private quarterback coach.
His private quarterback. It's a different world today.
I know, yeah.
I like that guy, though. He was either full of crap or he really liked East Carolina, one of the two.
But you know, this time when we get a kid like that come in, we don't have to rush him into playing. You know, if there's nothing wrong with redshirting the year,
right?
Nothing.
Well, you can play in four games now and still redshirt.
That's right. In fact, Snead did that, didn't he? Our receiver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's why he set out the NC State game last year to retain the red shirt.
And so he's a red shirt freshman.
Yep.
And I confirm Mason Garcia, he is still a four-star with Rivals.
All right.
Surprisingly, they didn't bump him down to a three-star since he committed to East Carolina.
Wait till it gets closer to signing. Then we'll see.
But
you could be right.
It's just so good to be able to talk about problems after a win.
Yeah.
And again, one of the things we're trying to do is teach the kids what it's like to play with a lead.
And I'm gonna tell you something else too, but Davey or Terry. We didn't lose, you know, and I mean this is going to sound goofy, we didn't lose to an FCS team this year. We haven't had a win yet. Like, you know, Carolina was awful last year, but it was still beating Carolina, which is always nice. We haven't had that kind of win yet, but we haven't lost to an FCS. We have two wins. We took care of two FCS. Let me tell you something. I really think we'd have lost that game last year. I think, and we'd have been in that situation in the fourth quarter, in a close nail biting ball game. I think we'd have screwed it up somehow and lost that game. And so to see the defense play the way they did, to see the running game control the clock, pick up yards, didn't perform well in the red zone. Got to work on that. But and hats off to Verity, we didn't perform well in the red zone, so he came in and made all his field goals. So hats off to him. We hadn't talked about Jake. That's a weapon, man. And he came close to making that 58-yarder, whatever it was.
55.
He came close to making it. He had the leg. It just didn't go through.
Yeah. Coach Houston, what you're saying, both of those points were things that Coach Houston addressed in his press conference.
Look who was on the other sideline. I don't know if people realize, but
Mike London.
Coach Mike London. Yeah, you know, they were national champions in, what was it, 2018 at Richmond?
No, not 2018. Several years ago.
2008, maybe. Maybe that's what
Okay. But
we're not talking about a young coach over there with no experience.
No, he won the national championship at Richmond, went to UVA, had a good season or two at UVA. Didn't work out. And,
he was ACC Coach of the Year there early on, like you're saying, when they turned it around, and then they weren't able to build on that success the way you would have thought.
Yeah, and then went to Howard, and actually, when he was at Howard, owns one of the biggest upsets in terms of point spreads. They were like a 49-point underdog to UNLV and upset UNLV while he was at Howard. So, and now he's, you know, at William & Mary. So he's a good coach.
And so we would have been out coached just like Willie Fritz did to us a couple games. And, you know, I could go down the list. But there again, we're not back there. We're not doing that anymore. And for all the spectator coaches, you know, if that's what it takes for you to enjoy the game, as long as you're paying to get in the game, then go right ahead. You just
It's simple, man. Once the passing game comes around, just 50% better. I think most of the fans will be a lot happier and quit complaining so much.
I hope they sound
good. Yeah, I agree with that.
Because some people just don't complain.
You're right. You have a section of the population that's going to bitch if we're winning by 50.
Lincoln Riley sucks.
Exactly.
They're going to Captain Bill, right?
Absolutely. Always.
I'm like this. As long as you pay your money, go right ahead. Say what you want. You know, but if you ain't paying no money, if you never donate, you can do it. And, you know.
Oh, plenty of those people, too. There's plenty of those people that don't donate, don't buy tickets, and complain.
Absolutely. And that's okay. Yeah. But we're going to go ahead and move forward, and we're going to play women's football, and we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Well, I want to mention two guys on the podcast in the press conference last night, post game with Coach Houston. I looked up at the board. That's the team, for folks that don't know, in the Ward Sports Building on the first floor. They actually have the team room and team meeting room. And on the board, the third and fourth points for this week were competing and effort. And I was like, you know what? That's the difference in the game last night for me was Terry, Kyle, and Bubba were. I really believe, Terry, we definitely had more talent than William & Mary, but I think we had the want to. I was excited about the fact that just because it was a tight game, this team last year would have panicked. The A&T game comes to mind. I know the guys, we talked about that yesterday in our group text during the game. It's kind of cool to have a group text. It's like we're watching the game together. But I felt like that their composure, I guess the word, they're learning, Terry, how to win, right?
Yeah. Yeah, learning how to make the play instead of giving up. You know, because there's always six or seven or eight plays in a game that's going to determine the outcome. And it's all a matter of who wins those plays. Tough part is you don't know when those plays are going to come. And that's teaching them. If you could get a college kid to play hard every down, then you're going to play winning football.
Yeah, and guess what they get for that right about now, guys? They get their celebration meal.
He told us, I know you guys heard in the preseason there in the spring game and all that, they're going to have a celebration, a feast after every win. And the menu is actually steak and shrimp. And, of course, Houston had to throw in there that his favorite is peanut butter pie. So it got me thinking last night. My wheels were turning. I hate you guys when they're with me. Because I was thinking about you guys, and I was like, if you were the coach, what would your championship, your feast, a meal be after every win? And whoever wants to start first, it doesn't matter what it is. Don't be overthinking it. Just tell me what your meal is.
Well, if it were me, I would probably change it from week to week. I wouldn't have the same meal every time. Because first of all, we'd be winning so much, who wants to eat the same thing every week for 12 weeks in a row? So I'd change it up, but
that's a good problem to have, right? We'll take it. A good problem to have.
If I'm making the menu off the top of my head as we sit here right now, we're probably gonna have barbecue ribs. Maybe some mac and cheese, homemade mac and cheese, not bull crap craft stuff. Maybe some fried okra. Some hot rolls, some yeast rolls with some honey butter, and then for dessert, we'll go with key lime pie.
Okay, I got it. As far as I'd probably have some form of grilled chicken. I mean, like grilled chicken with cheese and bacon, or I'd switch it up, like Kyle said, to keep it a little fresh, I guess you could say. But grilled chicken, and then either like a baked potato or a sweet potato, and then a big fan of like squash and zucchini on the grill, and then maybe also like some grilled corn on the cob. And then also for dessert, I don't know, maybe homemade vanilla ice cream.
I'll tell you what, the nutritionist liked your meal a lot better than mine.
Yeah.
Well, she wouldn't like, she's not going to like my meal.
What about you, Bonk?
What about Terry?
Oh, okay. We're going to have ribeye steak.
Oh, my.
And, with that, we're going to have ribeye steak. And then... you know, we're going to have baked potato probably, maybe, but we're going to have ribeye steak, and we're going to have some salad.
Hey, what kind of steak again?
Oh, we're going to have ribeye steak.
Okay, all right.
And it's going to knock the horn off and, you know, run them across the grill, and, and we're going to have a Have a good time.
What about for dessert, Terry?
We don't have
pineapple cupcake.
No, we're gonna eat so much steak. We don't need no dessert.
I thought you had pineapple cupcakes. Is that pineapple cupcake?
Exactly. That was a nice segue. Kyle gave you a softball there, Terry.
These are for me, and I'm gonna put a picture up for y'all to see these things.
All right, appreciate it. Terry, as we got on the phone with Terry, we found out he was baking pineapple cupcakes. So that's what that's about.
Yeah, exactly. We always like that. You know, there's always – that's what's great about this podcast. We never know what's going to go on behind the scenes, and there might be dogs barking, kids screaming. But you know what? That's part of the charm. Some people may not like it. Some people may – I might be shopping at Walmart. Who knows what that's – but that's – you never know what's going to happen.
Don't have that problem with shopping at Walmart that much anymore.
No, that's true.
You got rid of that problem.
Yeah, exactly. That's a whole other podcast.
Indeed. Dave, what would your meal be?
I want to do the steak, but everybody's doing the steak, so I'm going to go.
No, only Terry did the steak.
That's right, you switched up. I thought you were doing the steak, but normally compared to what Coach Houston's doing, but I don't have a problem with this meal, but I'm going to go Southern style. I'm going to say some comfort food. For the Pirates, I would love some, one of my favorites, fried chicken. I just had some. Maybe that's why it's on my mind. I absolutely love mashed potatoes with gravy. I love corn, a few vegetables in there. And for dessert, one of my favorites is, I'm debating. I have two favorite desserts. So I'm going to go with keeping it simple. I love banana pudding, so I'll go with that for dessert.
All right. Now, of all the meals, I got to say mine's the best.
All of them are good. I have to say I would eat every one of them.
I would eat mine. Then I believe I'd go eat Terry's. Then Dave, I'd take your main course, but I think I'd want Bubba's side.
Kyle doesn't like the grilled chicken.
No, I'll go with David fried chicken, and then I'll take Bubba's side. I do like the grilled vegetables. And I'll take your dessert also, Dave, because that vanilla ice cream Bubba's having here.
How about, and one debate I always get in all the time with people, and people get mad at me, I've always pronounced it pecan pie. That's my second favorite, probably.
Well, that's because you think you're fancy.
That's how I say it as well, pecan pie.
And people get mad at me all the time.
It's pecan
I'm not like
pie.
Well,
first of all, it's actually in the Deep South. I guarantee you, Terry says pecan pie. In the Deep South, they say pecan. It's really a North Carolina, Virginia thing that says pecan.
Well, you know, I've always called it pecan myself.
Oh, you said pecan also. Okay.
And that's because, you know, pecan pie. Well, I ain't going to be able to say that. Anyway, go ahead.
And while we're on, can we talk about, since we're on topic of food right now?
By the way, my wife's specialty is pecan pie. See, everybody loves her pecan pie. Pecan pie is something I can take or leave.
Oh, my wife, Gail, said it's pecan pie, so that ends the argument.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Pecan trees.
And she's allergic to pecan trees.
Well, okay.
I was going to say, can we, while we have the topic of food, today, Sunday, when we're recording the show, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, if you will, today is actually, I woke up this morning watching what used to be called Headline News, and I learned this morning of a lot of great topics. I learned early this morning that today is National Ice Cream Cone Day, so it got me to thinking about the topic, guys, since we're already talking about that, which I thought about last night. What is your favorite ice cream flavor? So who wants to go first?
I am an ice cream fanatic. You can all look at me and tell that. if you make me choose one, I'm going to go to Baskin Robbins, and I'm going to get Jamocha Almond Fudge from Baskin Robbins. But I also love anything with peanut butter and chocolate. So any kind of ice cream, chocolate with peanut butter. Also, I'm a big fan of cookies and cream. I love the Reese's Reese's Blizzard at Dairy Queen. love coffee, ice cream, the Heath Bar from Cold Stone. Love the chocolate ice cream and the butter pecan ice cream from Simply Natural. So, yeah, it's hard for me to choose Run 1, but I'll go Jamal Coleman first for Baskin Robbins.
All right. Terry or Kyle, who?
I already went, but me and Bubba.
I mean, Terry or Bubba, God. Wow. Terry or Bubba, sorry.
I'll go.
Go ahead.
I'd say, generally speaking, I like homemade ice cream more so than store-bought or, like Kyle was saying, Baskin-Robbins or somewhere. But so I'd go with probably just homemade vanilla. But then also, if I was going store-bought, I'd say down at, I guess it's Holden Beach. So right there below, not too far from Oak Island, where my in-laws have a place, and we went there this summer, and it's called Beaches and Cream, and they have, it's called Monkey Poop. It was chocolate. It was chocolate with chocolate with banana and peanuts. So it was good. And then, like Kyle said,
peanuts or walnuts?
Maybe it was walnuts. I don't remember.
That seems to make more sense to me.
Maybe so, but I actually think it was peanuts, but
really?
Either way, it was good, whatever it was. And then chocolate peanut butter, I like that as well.
Okay.
Terry?
Well, being
you're the ice cream expert, so tell us.
Being here in Georgia, first off, I like frozen yogurt. But anyway.
I hear that about you, Terry.
And go ahead.
A nice, nice color.
Just go right ahead. I'm used to it. Goes
right along with you baking cupcakes.
Fresh peaches mixed up in homemade ice cream.
What's that mixed up in homemade ice cream? What'd you say?
Peaches.
Oh, God. Okay, that makes way more sense than what I thought you said. I thought you said pig skin mixed up in homemade ice cream.
Your mind was in a totally different place.
Wow. Homemade peach ice cream.
Do you see the word coming out of my mouth?
Do not. Homemade peach ice cream.
Yeah, peach ice cream is pretty good, but I like to mix it all up, you know, get several different flavors and mix up and eat all together.
Yeah, you know, I do that whenever we go over to the Creamery, Simply Natural Creamery, the original location over there in the middle of nowhere outside of Aiden. I'm a big fan of actually getting their black raspberry ice cream and their chocolate ice cream and having it together.
Yeah, and Ben and Jerry's got good ice cream you can buy, you know.
Terry Garcia,
but I like chocolate chip cookie dough.
Yep. Hey, Dave, what's your daughter's favorite flavor ice cream?
Growing up, I used to always love orange sherbet.
I said, what's your daughter's favorite flavor ice cream? I hear her in the background.
Oh, Mackenzie, they love anything. Probably I would say chocolate.
Okay.
And so we have that. We also...
orange sherbet. Now, you mentioned orange sherbet. I hate orange sherbet.
You do?
I do, yeah. It tastes like, I don't age as much as it is as a kid. As a kid, it always reminded me of vomit.
What? So you were a drinker when you were like 5 or 6?
No.
I'm going to have to ask Frankie about all that. But...
No, I just never cared for orange sherbet.
Okay. Yeah, so I like that. I love, growing up, my grandparents used to love Neapolitan. So that was one of my... Rocky Road is another one of my favorites. Cookies.
Rocky Road's good, yeah.
I think you said cookies and cream, Kyle.
Yeah.
You and I have a lot of the same favorites, so like any kind of like hot fudge thing is like a go-to for me. But ice cream is one of my. That's probably like the last dessert I could get rid of. Like the other stuff I mentioned earlier about my favorite meal, I would have to say that's the funny thing. We'd have to get rid of everything but ice cream. That would be really hard.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else. And this podcast is off the rails, but
we'll get back to
something else. Milkshakes. Nothing pisses me off more than when I go to order a chocolate milkshake and it's made with vanilla ice cream and chocolate syrup. That's not a chocolate milkshake. That's a hot mess is what that is. Chocolate milkshake is supposed to be made with chocolate ice cream.
Ice cream, yes. That's a very good point. All right, so trying to figure out how we can get out of back into – we can just say go right back to football. So
yeah, well, there's no fancy segue. Hey, I'll tell you, we'll do a segue. Here you go. Here you go, Dave. I'll tell you, speaking of ice cream, they have that in Norfolk.
They ain't Old Dominion, right?
Yeah, they sell ice cream there.
They do. What do you think, Terry?
They probably do. I've been to Norfolk, and they probably have it, yeah.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Norfolk, besides ice cream, they also have a football team, and they're known as the Old Dominion Monarchs. And,
I was going to say, yeah, they about beat Virginia yesterday.
They did.
They gave them all they wanted. The spread came out for that game today, guys, and we opened up as a one-point favorite, surprisingly, over the Monarchs VODU, but that quickly flipped. We were actually a one-and-a-half-point favorite. That quickly flipped, and we are already a one-point underdog. So that line flipped in about 2 hours. We went from a one-and-a-half-point favorite to a one-point underdog.
Mm. Jeez. But,
yeah, that doesn't surprise me. With it being at Old Dominion and with the way both of these offenses have really struggled to score, us even more so than Old Dominion, I guess – they've put up 17 points in the losses, 31-17 at Virginia Tech, and then 28-17 last night at UVA, and so that does not surprise me. I was anticipating ODU probably being somewhere from a 3 to 5 point favorite.
Yeah, me too. I was shocked that we were favored, and so were the rest of the bidders because it didn't last long. And
but how about that Monarch defense, obviously someone we're very familiar with, even though he's only here a year in terms of coaching, our defensive coordinator from last season, David Blackwell. That's something else ODU has going for them in this matchup. And you think about Coach Blackwell's defense and what they did last night. I saw a statistic today, guys, and they limited UVA, who's obviously a very solid team this year, limited Perkins and company to 244 yards of total offense, and that was the most least yards allowed by a team against an FBS top 25 opponent yesterday, so that was impressive.
Wow, that's scary. The way our offense has struggled for their defense to be that good, that's a little scary. It has potential where their offense has struggled to be a very low-scoring game, which is odd because the first two games between East Carolina and Old Dominion last year and in 2013 were both very high-scoring games, particularly in 13. But last year was too. Both teams scored in the 30s. I wouldn't be surprised if this is like a 21-17 game at all. So should be an interesting game. And, you know, what is the bigger advantage, guys? Do you think the fact that that Blackwell knows our personnel real well is a bigger advantage? Or do you think that obviously we have access to lots and lots of video of how he coaches defense?
His knowledge of us would be of the players because we're not doing anything the same, defense or offense.
Right.
So they'd still have to get ready for us that way. But I'm just not I'm on my 24-hour of enjoying the win right now, so I hadn't really looked at ODU. So I'll get back to you on that one.
Bubba, what do you think is the bigger advantage, him knowing our personnel or us being really familiar with his coaching style and having ample film?
I would say probably the personnel but what you're pointing out, I mean, that's obviously an advantage as well. But, I mean, I think the other is probably a bigger advantage. But something else in this game, I agree with you, Kyle, that it could very much look very much like last night in terms of being an old-school football game in terms of lower scoring and a lot of defense, for sure. And so we can ill afford to go 1-for-5 in the red zone, and technically, I guess, 1-for-4 because we kneeled down there at the end. So we kicked 3 field goals that were I guess 33 yards or less there. So we can ill afford to do that.
And not
put those 12 points on the board next weekend.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I know for sure is that the defense coordinator for ODU, he lost 27 games over the last 3 years. For 2 years. No, wait a minute.
He was just there last year. He came in from Jacksonville State because we had Kenwick Thompson in 2016, and then Kenwick Thompson got fired after game two of 17, and then we had Robert Prunty for the remainder of 17.
Yeah, Blackwell, until we got a little bit injury-ridden and into the weeds last year, I thought Blackwell was doing a nice job with our defense in his only year here.
Absolutely. I was very encouraged. We had a lot more sacks, a lot more pressure on the quarterback, and a lot more TFLs. And I think it was just simply a matter of too late as far as the timing with Coach Blackwell. And I hope things work out down the road where maybe he can come back and coach for us.
Yeah, Blackwell played football for us in the 90s. He was on the 95 or 94 Liberty Bowl.
No, he was Peach Bowl.
No, he graduated in 94, though.
Yeah, he was part of it. Yeah, that's what you're thinking of. He was part of that staff when he was finishing up his degree.
Right. He got hurt as a player and then went ahead and was a graduate assistant.
Oh, he was a GA. He was a GA for the Liberty Bowl. Okay. All right.
Yeah, but very proud of him. And it's hard when you see guys like that that you love so much and wish there could have been a way for him to stay, but you understand Coach Houston, he's bringing his people. So, you understand the deal. It's still very hard when I felt like I've
always... Well, from what I understand, guys, I don't know if anybody has any intel on this. I heard he was offered a chance to stay as either a linebacker or D-line coach, just not as even as a coordinator. Do you guys know if that was true?
I don't.
Bubba, have you heard that?
I didn't hear that.
I'm sorry, say that again, Kyle.
I heard Blackwell was offered a chance to stay as a position coach.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Well, I heard it could have been a bad rumor.
Well, we did keep our defensive back coach, Brandon Lynch.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell you what, Brandon's turned into a very good young coach, and I'm happy that we've got him now under this situation. Because I think he's really going to grow and become a really great coach. By the way, he's from Georgia.
our defensive back play, we're in position to make plays now. Yes, there were a couple instances last night where we had guys on. I specifically recall one right there in front of me where we had a guy – William and Mary had a guy running down the sideline behind the coverage. He had beaten Colby Gore. But then there was another time where we were playing zone, and I think the safety didn't get over quickly enough. But overall, got to be very pleased with the way the defense as a whole and then also the secondary is performing, because those guys outside of Witherspoon and Gore are very young and future looks bright with McMillan and a lot of those guys.
Yeah, we got just about, what is it, we've got five in the rotation, freshmen, defensive back, four or five.
Yeah,
they're going to get better because the whole concept of the defense is better. Because one thing I was, another thing I'd put down to Morgan was I'm gonna have to talk over that.
It's the daycare objective.
And this is something of Coach Houston's style of play of coaching is field position is very important, and we won the field position battle last night. And again, you go back to number of drives. You know, you don't get the ball that much. You don't have the ball. We only had the ball, let's see, we had it five times in the second half. and they had it five times in the second half. They got the second half kickoff, but they didn't score. They did drive the ball down, but you know, we had three stops on fourth down last night. That's huge. Three stops on fourth down. That's just like a turnover. Getting them a stop on the fourth down, you could just about call a turnover. Because, you know, yeah. that's end result is we get the ball.
You know what I call it, Terry? I call it a turnover on downs.
A turnover on downs. There you go.
That's correct.
You are a sharp knife, I'll tell you what.
I know. I try to.
Yeah, I love you. But anyway, so the way we're playing between, you know, making first downs, if you know, I've said it before, two first downs and a punt, and you're going to flip the field. Last night, our punter had a fantastic punt that didn't count because of the rough and the kicker call, I believe.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that one?
Yeah.
And not always was the kick was good, but the coverage was outstanding. Every time, if you keep them from returning the ball 10 yards, that's one more first down they've got to make.
That's right.
Vice versa, if we return the ball 10 yards for every 10 yards, or, you know, I don't know if y'all remember, I've talked about hidden yardage in a football game.
Oh, yeah.
Fielding the punt and not letting it roll. Every time the ball hits and rolls 20 yards, that's two more first downs we got to get. So it's these little things that our coaches now are taking care of. And when you coach the little things, the big things take care of themselves, because you've already little things put you in the position to make the play. And now, once these kids start making those big plays, they're going to come. And that's all we're lacking, is just a few big plays here and there. And, again, penalties also. I thought last night we had 9 penalties, I think.
Yep.
And I think penalties prevented us from going ahead and scoring more points, I think.
And by the way, how about that nice play in the second half with Aaron Ramsey? I mean, they didn't even touch him. He ran through the line, and the nice sack on the quarterback. That was the kind of plays that we're used to seeing from the linebacking core, or anybody for that matter. It was nice to see
it was a delayed blitz.
Yeah.
And all you're doing is giving your defensive front a chance to occupy them so that nobody's going to pick up the linebacker. And that's that little coaching point right there. So, you know, as long as we don't turn the ball over, as long as we don't give the other team more opportunities than we have, you know, we're going to be able to play. And I know, well, we got these other teams come. Well, you've only got to beat the team you're facing that week. You don't have to beat nobody else. So, you know, what we do is go back and you look at things, you review things, you take care of business. And then Tuesday, it's on to the Old Dominion. And that's who we'll try to take care of, is Old Dominion next week. So let's enjoy it. Let's have fun and let's go to games and fly those purple and gold flags.
Sounds good.
I tell you what, it's going to be an outstanding atmosphere. By the way, Warner Mine fans, October 3rd is Blackout Night, which we're going to have the...
You all right, Dave?
Black uniforms. And so yeah. I'm looking forward to that, the Temple game. And I literally... Yeah, like for me personally, that game is going to be huge. Kyle, I know you have... we can't say on the podcast what you said, but... that's for premium, for people that want to pay for a podcast or a Facebook group. If you want to do that, then you can actually get Kyle unleashed.
what you're talking about is the Blackout game against Temple. If we wear all black, the painted black, and if we find a way to beat Temple, I made a joke about how I was going to celebrate, but
right.
I certainly won't say that on the podcast. First things first, we got ODU. Yeah, but next home game, Thursday night game against Temple. And hopefully it'll be a big crowd. The Thursday night games are interesting. Some people, students seem to really love them. So I expect the student section to be filled up for a Thursday night game, and it's a blackout. So that should be a lot of fun. Some people can't make it to Thursday night games, but before that, we got ODU. Say you think it would help with the crowd for Temple if we can somehow beat ODU on the road.
But, and not only that, but the reason I brought Temple up is because that quick turnaround. I'm not anybody that knows me. I don't like Thursday night games. Never have, but it is what it is. That's when we're playing at 8 o'clock on the third, Dowdy Ficklin Stadium, Bagway Field. So I'm just that quick turnaround bothers me, but it is what it is. And also, this week we've got to find a way to get a road win for the season. That'll be nice because if not, if we don't get a road win against ODU, we have the let's see. So we have Temple, and then we have our bye week. Not a bye week, but it's actually it's so long because we have the Thursday night game.
No, we have a bye week. We have a bye week.
Okay, we do have a bye. And then we go to at Central Florida.
We're not playing.
And we'll have at, let's see, we have at.
At UCF, and then home against South Florida.
Yeah. So we got coming up, we've got to win the South Florida game, certainly. We've got to win.
Well, let's just take it one game at a time, Dave. I mean, we don't want to get too far in the weeds here on the schedule. But, I mean, you know, who knows? We could shock the world and beat UCF in a few weeks. You don't think so, but it's possible. But
And they lost last night.
They should have won. They should have won. I feel bad for them.
You're not paying attention to what I said.
That's right. But, ODU's next. Let's worry about it. And if we don't get the road game at ODU, then we don't get it. It'll come. We're going to win on the road again.
Well, that's the other step is learning how to win on the road.
Yeah.
And what they always say,
I hope we can get it though. Obviously,
it'd be if nice you win all your home games and win half your road games, just like people say, you're going to be successful no matter what the sport is.
Well, yeah.
Let's go 1-0 next week.
Yep.
All right. Sounds good. Do you have anything before we go, guys?
No. I'm about to go eat my victory dinner myself, which will not be anything like we described.
And guess what I have today for you guys? Self-serve ice cream right now. I'm having some vanilla self-serve ice cream for you, Bubba. I know you like vanilla, so I'm having it for you right now.
Well, I think that good?
And Bubba's fired up about that.
And
Bubba liking vanilla is par for the course.
It's perfect. It fits in nicely to our narrative. It really does. Well, guys, I guess we should put the podcast to bed. Thank you, Terry Gallagher, for Next Man Up. I couldn't be with us, unfortunately. I had an emergency, so I hope that worked out.
Thank you, Buck, for
stepping up.
I appreciate y'all having me. I know a lot of people would have rather heard the other guy, but I'm sorry. And that's all you get is me because I work for a pretty good price.
That's right, yeah.
Check's in the mail, I promise. It'll be in the next year or two. Anyway, so appreciate you very much. Appreciate Bubba. Kyle, man, appreciate you. Go and have your celebration, the feast, and handle that. Until next time. I'm Dave Richmond. You've been listening to the Pirate Playback right here on the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.